It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, so I'm glad to be here. I speak to you in the name of the triune God. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we find the prophet paints an amazing picture of a people called to love God in the context of a culture that is not their own. Jerusalem has been sacked, its temple destroyed, and its leadership taken into exile. The faithful have been lamenting. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? The Babylonian exile was a crisis of unknown proportion. That it caused the people of Israel to wonder if the gods of Babylon were stronger than Yahweh. They doubted, and they wondered if God had abandoned them. The people were at a loss, broken, without hope. The prophet Jeremiah reaches out to them with counsel that was hard to take in. They are to seek the welfare of the city, which means they are to love their enemies, the ones that, you know, destroyed their homeland and took them into exile. They are to pray for Babylon, for in its peace, they will find their peace. Now, these are shocking words. It's shocking to hear this message, for they are the remaining survivors of a Holocaust, if you wish, who have been dragged off to Babylon. The prophet instructs them to make a complete paradigm shift. He tells them it is time to stop fighting the Babylonians. No more violence. No more defiance. And Jeremiah tells them to thrive, not simply survive. Thrive. And Jeremiah proposes a new and better way to live. He calls them to faithful engagement. You're refugees? Time to become residents. You're victims? Time to become visionaries. Time to adapt and adjust to life in Babylon. I've sent you here. Seek the welfare of the city and pray on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. As the church in North America struggles to provide a faithful witness in our post-Christian context, this passage offers words of encouragement and wisdom to guide us in our mission and ministry today. Walter Brueggemann translates verse 7 in this way. Seek the shalom of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its shalom you will find your shalom. Shalom includes the ideas of well-being, wholeness, completeness, harmony, tranquility, friendship, agreement, and prosperity. Shalom encompasses the messianic hope that in all of creation, every creature shall live in harmony with every other creature, and there will be no division, hostility, fear, suffering, or desolation. Recall the words of another prophet, "Leopards will lie down with young goats, and wolves will rest with lambs. Calves and lions will eat together and be cared by little children." In Jeremiah, our passage says, God has not abandoned Israel. God is still at work in and among Israel. And by seeking justice, prosperity, and well-being for all, Israel will find the peace that God has for all. This message from the prophet is also God's word for us today, as the church faces rapid change. You know, as we face what we've heard called a sea change, paradigm shift, you know, it is remarkable these times we're in. I think historians will look back on this period of, you know, 50, 100 years. It's a second renaissance, people describe it as. It's a remarkable time. But still, for us in the midst going through it, we don't have that hindsight to look back. It can be an anxious time, a confusing time. We have to find new ways of being the church. The prophet calls on God's people to trust in God's presence and to trust in God's plan among all the nations. God says, "You are not captives in exile. You are my missionaries of shalom." Could it be that God is challenging us to make a radical shift in our own self-perception? Not unlike the one demanded of Israel long ago. Here God is inviting us to embrace a new identity. "You are my agents of blessing. You are my missionaries of shalom. Shed the prison uniforms of the exile and dress in garments of the ambassadors you are." I think God is inviting us to provide a ministry of presence, to participate in public, faithful engagement in our neighborhoods and communities, and to pray for all who dwell in our city. I think the Spirit has been moving among the churches for a few decades now, coaching us to leave our comfort zones and soft pews, calling us to set aside our preferences and the traditions we enjoy, to seek the shalom of the city, to pray for those outside our faith community, to befriend and connect with the stranger. Might God be sending us out of the church building to immerse and listen to the people of our city, to know the stories, hopes, fears, laments, biases, and values of the people living around us? Might God want to see the acts of common good already happening in our city? And might God want to use us to identify the gaps or the needs not being addressed? How might each of us be a missionary of shalom? As I travel throughout the Synod, from Medicine Hat to Fort St. John, I see people seeking the shalom of the city or town where they live. I see people praying for their communities and participating in faithful engagement. In Edmonton, Westmount Presbyterian Church in the North Glenora neighborhood, this congregation realized that their church building in Mance was aging and it wasn't environmentally friendly. And they began to dream for the future. And they came up with a plan to lease their land for nonprofit development. And they decided to partner with InterMet Housing Society of Edmonton to build rental housing for large families and also for a little small church building. And they partnered with Edmonton Mennonite Center for Newcomers because they wanted refugees and new immigrants to Canada with large families to be able to make a home in Edmonton and to be part of the community over the long term. Well, I can tell you the old structure has come down and the land's been dedicated. And now Westmount awaits its new home as well as the opportunity of making strangers friends. And this is an example of being missionaries of shalom. Yesterday I was leading a workshop with a session at Centennial Presbyterian Church. And I learned that a group in the church had grown potatoes over the summer in 6 large raised beds out between the sanctuary wall and the parking lot. Now, who knew there was enough land there to produce that kind of a crop? I surely didn't. And last week, the harvest was brought in, and it was bountiful. And it was given to the Calgary Interfaith Food Bank. Now, the buzz at the church was nobody knows how much it weighed in, so that's what they're waiting to hear. But the enthusiasm was infectious. Seek the shalom of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its shalom you will find your shalom. I think congregations are risking in mission and looking for ways to sow seeds of shalom. Churches are learning how they may become a community hub, provide safe space for others to use, providing spaces of peace for the greater community. I know Knox Calgary hosts a community kitchen for mothers to learn about economic and nutritious ways to feed their families. Here in St. Andrews, you have Side by Side, and you provide respite care to family members. A lot of our churches provide daycares or meeting rooms for Alcoholics Anonymous. They provide safe places where the community may come in. When I was in Montreal at Presbyterian College, which is located right across from McGill University, well, at lunch hour in their courtyard, there's Tai Chi happening. And they're dreaming of creating a cafe for students where they can come and find some rest and experience a space of grace and peace. Sometimes seeking the shalom of the city involves prayerful and public engagement. Here in Calgary, Metro Alliance for the Common Good has been hosting a listening campaign to discern the needs in our city. And I don't know if you've been involved, but there's been these little cell groups all over the city with a facilitator bringing different people from different walks of life, asking about what do they see are the needs and where are the gaps. In October, they will hold a discernment assembly. Did you hear that? Discernment assembly. All these ideas are going to come together and somehow they're going to sort through it. And they're going to hear about the different concerns identified in Calgary. And then they will decide to focus on a few of the issues and work together on them. They are seeking the welfare of the city. Presbyterian congregations are being challenged to look at the 94 calls to action released by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada, which came out last year, the final report. Resetting our relationships with Indigenous peoples will take time and commitment. The Presbyterian Church in Canada is committed to working for justice in those areas of Canadian society where the gaps between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people are obvious in our land. And so we're going to work on access to health care, education, clean housing, clean water, housing, land that's reasonably priced, food, and safety for girls and women. You know, in the remits, if you follow the acts and proceedings, you know, from June, in the remits, all congregations are told to learn about the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, because this provides a clear and positive framework for reconciliation. And the Presbyterian Church in Canada commits to using it to enhance our journey of healing and reconciliation with Indigenous people in Canada. After the wildfires in the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, I've been meeting leaders in the city who seek the welfare of the people in Fort McMurray and beyond. In the rebuilding and recovery, many are coming together, focused on community wellness and resiliency. PWSND hopes to partner with local agencies responding to local needs. And one of the partners will be Wood Buffalo Food Bank and Borealis Counseling. The people at Borealis Counseling are great. We hope that we'll be able to provide free counseling for families that cannot afford counseling and are reaching out for help. And Borealis is also putting on workshops about, mindfulness, learning to look after one's boundaries, self-care. And they're helping people journey through loss. In 2017, we hope to work ecumenically to offer workshops addressing compassion fatigue. Like right now, a lot of the folk up there are just in full drive. You know, they're in the fifth gear. And those who are caregivers professionally, you know, like medical people, social workers, teachers, clergy, you know, first responders, they're looking after everybody else. But in time, it'll hit them. They got to look after themselves, and it's just a matter of a disaster. You're just trying to get through things, and we hope that there'll be workshops on compassion fatigue. We offered workshops on compassion fatigue after the floods in High River. We called on partners in PCUSA, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, and they have amazing teams, volunteers, like often a lot of them retired professionals, and even clergy that come up. And they facilitate the workshop. And they let all these frontline people be participants. You know, forget about your work, this is a day for you. And they come and participate. So we're hoping to do that in the new year. Jeremiah counseled those in exile. He said, pray for the welfare of the city. And we too are encouraged to lift up our prayers of intercession for Calgary, for its people here and its leaders. We're to pray for our community associations, you know, for our colleagues at work, for our teachers, for first responders. We're called to pray for all those who we meet in our daily walk of life. So I encourage you to take on prayer. Pray for those with whom you share work, your workplace, your daily life. It matters. In baptism, we are joined to the body of Christ. We are the church. We're anointed by the Spirit, and we are appointed to be a royal priesthood, serving Christ and one another in the world. It's our baptism which initiates a life of discipleship and commitment. Teresa of Avila said, Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Friends, we're invited to be missionaries of shalom. May we rely on God's abundant grace as we seek the welfare of the city and pray on its behalf. And now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen.